The fourth century, paragraphs 11 through 21. Number 11. That maxim also which your friend used is of very great and divine concernment. I will first spend a great deal of time in seeking happiness, and then a great deal more in enjoying it. For if happiness be worthy to be sought, it is worthy to be enjoyed, as no folly in the world is more vile than that pretended by alchemists of having the philosopher's stone and being contented without using it, so is no deceit more odious than that of spending many days in studying and none in enjoying happiness. That base pretense is an argument of falsehood and mere forgery in them, that after so much toil in getting it, they refuse to use it. Their pretense is that they are so abundantly satisfied in having it that they care not for the use of it. So the neglect of any man that finds it shows that indeed he hath lost of happiness. That which he hath found is counterfeit ware, and if he neglect to use it, 'tis only because he cannot. True happiness being too precious to be despised. Shall I forsake all riches and pleasures for happiness, and pursue it many days and months and years, and then neglect and bury it when I have it? I will now spend days and nights in possessing it, as I did before in seeking it. It is better being happy than asleep. Number 12. Happiness was not made to be boasted, but enjoyed. Therefore, though others count me miserable, I will not believe them if I know and feel myself to be happy, nor fear them. I was not born to approve myself to them, but God. A man may enjoy great delights without telling them. Could but the crow in lonely silence eat, she then would have less envy and more meat. Heaven is a place where our happiness shall be seen of all. We shall there enjoy the happiness of being seen in happiness, without the danger of ostentation. But here men are blind and corrupted and cannot see. We are corrupted and in danger of abusing it. I knew a man that was mightily derided in his pursuit of happiness till he was understood and then admired. But he lost all by his miscarriage. Number 13. One great discouragement to felicity, or rather to great souls in the pursuit of felicity, is the solitariness of the way that leads to her temple. A man that studies happiness must sit alone like a sparrow upon the housetop and like a pelican in the wilderness. And the reason is because all men praise happiness and despise it. Very few shall a man find in the way of wisdom. And few indeed, that having given up their names to wisdom and felicity, that will persevere in seeking it. Either he must go on alone, or go back for company. People are tickled with the name of it, and some are persuaded to enterprise a little, but quickly draw back when they see the trouble, yea, cool of themselves without any trouble. Those mysteries, which, while men are ignorant of, they would give all the gold in the world for, I have seen when known to be despised. Not as if the nature of happiness were such that it did need a veil, but the nature of man is such that it is odious and ungrateful. For those things which are most glorious when most naked are by men, when most nakedly revealed, most despised. So that God is fain for his very name's sake, lest his beauties should be scorned, to conceal their beauties, and for the sake of men, which naturally are more prone to pry into secret and forbidden things, than into open and common. Felicity is amiable under a veil, but most amiable when most naked. It hath its times and seasons for both. There is some pleasure in breaking the shell, and many delights in our addresses previous to the sweets in the possession of her. It is some part of felicity that we must seek her. Number 14. In order to this, he furnished himself with this maxim. It is a good thing to be happy alone. It is better to be happy in company, but good to be happy alone. Men owe me the advantage of their society, but if they deny me that just debt, I will not be unjust to myself and side with them in bereaving me. I will not be discouraged, lest I be miserable for company. More company increases happiness, but does not lighten or diminish misery. Number 15. In order to interior or contemplative happiness, it is a good principle that apprehensions within are better than their objects. Morney's simile of the saw is admirable. If a man would cut with a saw, he must not apprehend it to be a knife, but a thing with teeth, otherwise he cannot use it. He that mistakes his knife to be an auger, or his hand to be his meat, confounds himself by misapplications. These mistakes are ocular, but far more absurd ones are unseen. To mistake the world, or the nature of one's soul, is a more dangerous error. He that thinks the heavens and the earth not his, can hardly use them, and he that thinks the sons of men impertinent to his joy and happiness, can scarcely love them. But he that knows them to be instruments, and what they are, will delight in them, and is able to use them. Whatever we misapprehend, we cannot use, nor well enjoy what we cannot use. Nor can anything be our happiness we cannot enjoy. Nothing, therefore, can be our happiness but that alone which we rightly apprehend. To apprehend God, our enemy, destroys our happiness. Inward apprehensions are the very light of blessedness and the cement of souls and their objects. Number 16. Of what vast importance right principles are, we may see by this. Things prized are enjoyed. All things are ours. All things serve us and minister to us, could we find the way. Nay, they are ours and serve us so perfectly that they are best enjoyed in their proper places, even from the sun to a sand, from a cherubim to a worm. I will not accept gold and silver and crowns and precious stones, nor any delights or secret treasures in closets and palaces. For if otherwise, God would not be perfect in bounty. But suppose the world were all yours. If this principle be rooted in you, to prize nothing that is yours, it blots out all at one dash, and bereaves you of a whole world in a moment. Number 17. If God be yours, and all the joys and inhabitants in heaven, if you be resolved to prize nothing great and excellent, nothing sublime and eternal, you lay waste your possessions, and make vain your enjoyment of all permanent and glorious things, so that you must be sure to inure yourself frequently to these principles, and to impress them deeply. I will prize all I have, and nothing shall with me be less esteemed, because it is excellent. A daily joy shall be more my joy, because it is continual. A common joy is more my delight, because it is common. For all mankind are my friends, and everything is enriched in serving them. A little grit in the eye destroys the sight of the very heavens, and a little malice or envy a world of joys. One right principle in the mind is of infinite consequence. I will ever prize what I have, and so much the more because I have it. To prize a thing when it is gone breeds torment and repining. To prize it while we have it, joy and thanksgiving. Number 18. All these relate to enjoyment, but those principles that relate to communication are more excellent. These are principles of retirement and solitude, but the principles that aid us in conversation are far better and help us, though not so immediately to enjoyment, in a far more blessed and divine manner. For it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we are more happy in communication than enjoyment, but only that communication is enjoyment, as indeed what we give we best receive. For the joy of communicating and the joy of receiving makes perfect happiness, and therefore are the sons of men our greatest treasures, because they can give and receive, treasures perhaps infinite as well as affections. But this, I am sure, they are our treasures, and therefore is conversation so delightful, because they are the greatest. Number 19. The world is best enjoyed and most immediately while we converse blessedly and wisely with men. I am sure it were desirable that they could give and receive infinite treasures, and perhaps they can. For whomsoever I love as myself, to him I give myself, and all my happiness, which I think is infinite, and I receive him and all his happiness. Yea, in him I receive God, for God delights me for being his blessedness, so that a man obliges me infinitely that makes himself happy, and by making himself happy, gives me himself and all his happiness. Besides this, he loves me infinitely, as God does, and he dare do no less for God's sake. Nay, he loves God for loving me, and delights in him for being good unto me, so that I am magnified in his affections, represented in his understanding, tenderly beloved, caressed and honored, and this makes society delightful. But here upon earth it is subject to changes, and therefore this principle is always to be firm, as the foundation of bliss. God only is my sovereign happiness and friend in the world. Conversation is full of dangers, and friendships are mortal among the sons of men, but communion with God is infinitely secure, and he is my happiness. Number 20. He from whom I received these things always thought that to be happy in the midst of a generation of vipers was become his duty, for men and he are fallen into sin. Were all men wise and innocent, it were easy to be happy, for no man would injure and molest another. But he that would be happy now must be happy among ungrateful and infurious persons. That knowledge which would make a man happy among just and holy persons is unuseful now. And those principles only profitable that will make a man happy, not only in peace, but blood. On every side we are environed with enemies, surrounded with reproaches, encompassed with wrongs, besieged with offenses, receiving evil for good, being disturbed by fools, and invaded with malice. This is the true estate of this world, which, lying in wickedness, as our Savior witnessed, yields no better fruits than the bitter clusters of folly and perverseness, the grapes of Sodom and the seeds of Gomorrah. Blind wretches that would themselves offend me. I need therefore the oil of pity and the balm of love to remedy and heal them. Did they see the beauty of holiness or the face of happiness, they would not do so. To think the world therefore a great bedlam or a place of madmen, and oneself a physician, is the most necessary point of present wisdom, an important imagination, and the way of happiness. Number 21. He thought within himself that this world was far better than paradise had man eyes to see its glory and their advantages, for the very miseries and sins and offenses that are in it are the materials of his joy and triumph and glory. So that he is to learn a diviner art that will now be happy, and that is, like a royal chemist, to reign among poisons, to turn scorpions into fishes, weeds into flowers, bruises into ornaments, poisons into cordials. And he that cannot learn this art of extracting good out of evil is to be accounted nothing. Heretofore, to enjoy beauties and to be grateful for benefits was all the art that was required to felicity. But now a man must, like a god, bring light out of darkness and order out of confusion, which we are taught to do by his wisdom that rules in the midst of storms and tempests.